This is Joan Haber and Marlene House interviewing Shirley Levine on April 5th, 1985 at Shirley's apartment. This is tape 4. Shirley, would you just state your name once more for testing the tape?
My name is Shirley Levine.
Shirley, last time we were talking about your position on the Allegheny County Board of Public Assistance. And you were talking about this small group of citizens that meets with the clients and how that has made some impression on you. Could you recall that?
No, it is. It's an advisory. It's a citizens advisory committee, and they come under the Allegheny County Board of Assistance. They are actually advisory to the board. They're made up of clients, a certain percentage, and I don't remember exactly what it is, but a certain percentage of the membership of the Citizens Advisory Committee must be welfare clients, or Board of Assistance clients. And they're a remarkable group. I don't want to mention any names, but there are several, not elderly, but older women who have really been through the mill, and they are so articulate and so knowledgeable and sophisticated in their in ways of dealing with the system, and somehow they're real survivors. You can just tell, and the small group of women with whom I was appointed to the board that when we talked about last time. We have developed a real rapport with the Citizens Advisory Committee. I think they really feel that we are in their corner. They understand that there isn't a whole lot we can do, but they know that we really are advocates, and we have to be very careful. I mean, if we get really out of line, we all serve at the discretion of the governor.
Oh, is that what you mean, have to be careful?
Yes, we're appointed by the governor, and if we pull something, you know, high-handed, we would be asked to resign.
You mean you couldn't go to bat for any one individual in particular?
Yes, but carefully. I mean, couldn't make, couldn't, for instance, call a press conference and really blow off steam on how terribly oppressive and inhumane the system is, and the whole state welfare department is, which it is. So don't publish this.
It's not a new idea.
No,
that it's in bad shape. I wonder if you have any insights on some solutions or something.
Yes, I mean you can only work on it legislatively through the state legislature, and I think it's harder to do really to work on it when you're on the board than if I work totally independent of the board.
Oh, you feel you really are doing some good on that work?
I think so. You know, you can't measure it. I think we are supportive, and when things strike us as being really terribly cruel or unfair, we do speak up, but not publicly. We address our letters to the head of the department, sometimes to the governor himself, stating what we see is wrong.
Do you recall who is head of the welfare department now?
I can't remember his name. That's terrible.
It would be Schreiner, Shine.
No.
Okay.
No.
This is a Vanama.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I can't recall. Where do you meet? Where does this board meet?
In the state office building. And the meetings are held monthly.
Are they real formal Robert's rules and all that?
Not really. I'm not even sure exactly how many members there are on the board, because they, of course, they never are all there at the same time. But I would say that there probably are about maybe 15 people. And if we have 7 or 8 board members, that's pretty good. I think 6 is enough.
Have there always been citizens on this board?
I assume so.
Want to get a glass of water?
I may have.
All right.
Do you want to stop? I think maybe in conclusion on this particular subject, I'm kind of looking forward to the time when I'm off the board, and with the insights that I've gained while I have been on it, that I may see a stronger advocacy role for myself in the future. But there, if I want to do anything or be effective, then I have to be careful now.
That seems to be your style. You learn from the inside and then pursue it. How long are you on this board?
It's a 3-year term, and I'm into my second year.
Very interesting. I know you have other activities. I did want to ask you about the juvenile justice work that you did. We did talk about the fact that National Council had sent you to the symposium, and I well remember your report to the board. It was so wonderful and inspiring, and we did spur us on to do work in juvenile justice. But I know you had some other activities, especially in relation to some legislation. Do you want to talk about
that? At the state level, within NCJW and a coalition with the Juvenile Justice Center of Pennsylvania, and particularly the Western Pennsylvania branch, we worked in coalition with a number of groups that had an interest in this field, and I believe that it was the pressure from this coalition that was statewide. The Juvenile Justice Center main office was in Philadelphia. Barbara Fruchter she was the chairman or what her title was, or director, I guess. And locally in Western Pennsylvania, Pat Evie. And our combined efforts, I think, of all these groups, we did exert the pressure that got the Juvenile Justice Act amended to separate juveniles from adult offenders, making it illegal to incarcerate juveniles with adult offenders, and also to separate status offenders from delinquents. We thought we had really won a great battle, or that we had won the war. I would say that we won a battle, because there have been attempts now in recent years. That was back in 1977, I think, about that time when that bill was passed. And in the last few years, with the great hue and cry for law and order, they have been kind of pegging away at some of the gains that were made, trying to lower the age for juveniles, making it possible. I think they wanted to lower the age to 16 from 18 for purposes of incarcerating offenders with adult offenders. And of course, we oppose this. I don't think that has passed, but they're trying to. There are forces at work. The only thing that's playing into our hands, as it were, is the fact that actually juvenile crime is subsiding, and this is due to the fact that there are fewer young people of that age now, that were past the baby boom, and the statistics maybe will go up again in a few years when the baby boomers start. They've already started having children, and when their children become adolescents, I don't know whether we're going to be in for more trouble or not. Maybe we will have learned something by then on how to handle kids.
Where did you work in this coalition? Did you have to travel to Harrisburg at all, or did you stay in Pittsburgh? What did it mean?
Primarily, we worked from Pittsburgh, and we worked with our own state legislators, through their offices. But we did go to Harrisburg from time to time, and I did go at one point to deliver testimony before a Senate committee, and on behalf of MCJW. Harrisburg is a matter of expense, really. It is really costly, but even then it never was cheap to go, and it was too long to drive for me anyhow to drive down and back the same day, and so we didn't go as often as many of us would have liked, but we got there a couple of times a year.
Can you tell me some of the people that you worked with on this coalition besides Barbara and Pat? I was thinking in particular of Joe Rhodes.
Oh, yes.
At that point.
Joe Rhodes happened to be the legislator from my district in the East End. And he had a friend, a close friend in the legislature, whose name escapes me at the moment, but they were very close. And they were really the prime movers in this whole area. Joe and he very much appreciated the kind of support that our coalition gave him, because he credited us a great deal with the success of getting the amendment passed.
You knew him quite well, I believe.
Oh, well, yes. We went to Jimmy and I went to his wedding, and we see them socially. He's married to a lovely young lady from Erie, and they have two children now. It's a shame, you know, that I'm not thinking of the names of the people that were involved. There were, of course, within MCJW, you, Marlene, were certainly
one of the
people, and
I was thinking more citywide.
Uh-huh. Yeah. I don't know. It was the Western Pennsylvania group was a fairly large one. But I'm very bad at names, and it's been a long time. I just don't remember.
But I know you were very busy with that. That's always been a high priority for you.
Yes,
anything to do with children. I wanted to ask you about your civil rights activities. In particular, did you know Lillian Freeford?
Yes, I did. I served when I first served on the CRC as an NCJW representative. Lillian was the executive director.
Do you want to tell us what CRC stands for?
Oh, I'm sorry. It was then the Community Relations Council, and I don't remember how long since it was. Should I close that?
I don't know. It's up to you.
No. I was thinking
okay,
for the tape.
No.
It's all right. It eventually became the Community Relations Committee of the United Jewish Federation of Greater Pittsburgh, and became a committee of the Federation, and there was a lot of feeling about that, but that was after Lillian Freeford's time.
Mm-hmm.
She was long gone. This was also not exactly a coalition, but it was made up of representatives. There were representatives of specific organizations who entitled to send representatives because of their being in on the organization of the national CRC, which or the NAC, what we call NACRAC, which is the National Community Relations Advisory Council.
Very good.
And NCJW, for a long time, was the only Jewish women's organization that was a part of that. Now, both Hadassah and Ort are members, and I'm not sure whether there are any others.
I don't know whether they've expanded.
They have expanded some, but for many, many years, the NCJW was the only women's.
I was curious about
both nationally and locally. Although locally, the Conference of Jewish Women's Organizations had a delegate. But officially, the official delegates were named by their organizations. When it became under the Federation auspice, the Federation then, it was written into the new bylaws or constitution or whatever it's called, that the Federation could appoint people from the community at large, and I think it's five.
I'm curious about the early beginnings, since you were there, of CRC. Where did they meet exactly?
They always met at the Federation office.
They always did.
Yeah, and it wasn't the early beginnings.
I
wasn't even in Pittsburgh when it began.
Okay. It is that old. I didn't know.
Oh, yes. Yes, it goes back many, many years. And
what would you say their main function is, or what kinds of things were discussed there?
Well, of course, they came into being to protect as kind of a defense organization almost for Jews, mm-hmm. to see that the civil rights of Jews were respected. And but they quickly, and as always, as Jews, they realized that they had to be concerned for the civil rights and human rights of everybody, and so they were then and are still very much involved in desegregation of the schools, and they wrestled with that one pretty hard, but they did because there was feeling in the Jewish community, unfortunately, that was not 100% accepting of that. But CRC, I think, managed to maintain a pretty good profile in that area, and they have a reputation more than a reputation, they really do cooperate very closely with the Black community, and have been considered friends of the Black community.
I wanted to know about your efforts in the pro-choice resolution that was passed at the CRC, I believe. Weren't you not
inspired? Sally Friedman and I, yes, we.
Quite a phenomenon.
It was. I think we were the first community to have a, it wasn't a complete freedom of choice, but we were able to persuade the Orthodox rabbi that they should at least be opposed to a constitutional amendment banning abortions, because the rabbis feel that they that decisions that are made for abortion are between the rabbi and the mother to be, and they didn't want interference from the state. So it wasn't what I would call a complete victory, but at least it was an opposition to the constitutional amendment banning abortion.
You must have felt pretty good about
that. We did
that.
Feel very good about that.
That was a long, hard battle. While we're talking about the Federation, you have been on other committees there. Do you want to tell us a little bit?
Well, I have have served on the Urban Affairs Foundation Committee, which was established at the time of the riots following the death of Martin Luther King. And it was established to, I seem to remember talking
did
about
we
this
talk
before,
about that? Okay.
A little.
I thought so too, maybe you did.
But it was mm-hmm. just to make sure it was mm-hmm. established that so that there would be a Jewish presence in helping to alleviate the reaching out to the Black community and providing funds for programs to help them better themselves.
Were you in on the early beginnings of that?
Yes, I have been on. Mm-hmm. I'm certainly due to be rotated off when the current chairman is replaced, I think his term is almost mm-hmm. up. I'm only serving now as the immediate past chairman. And the bylaws we had to conform with the Federation bylaws, mm-hmm. which meant that there is a mandatory rotation. But I have served straight through till the present, and it has always been one of my very, very favorite activities, but I recognize that it is time for me to at least go off for a little while. I can always go back if they want me. But I will be rotated off within the year, I'm pretty sure.
Was that a burdensome chairmanship, or how did you find that?
Oh, I never found serving on that committee in any capacity as burdensome. It was made up primarily, and even after the Federation kind of got more involved in it, it was primarily people who think very much the way I do, and I'm not a bra-burning feminist exactly, but I certainly am a feminist, and I would certainly describe myself as a liberal. And most of the people who have served on that foundation committee share the same feelings. So we always had a good time, and we really felt good about what we were doing. It was not, we never could give a lot of money to anything, but as I say, we were a Jewish presence. And one of our big accomplishments was the establishment of the Squirrelville Coalition, which was formed under that auspice, and also the Stanton Heights Civic Association. We were very proud of those two things.
I don't know whether we mentioned Social Planning and Budget Committee.
I'm very new. I'm sure that I will, mm-hmm. because that's really where the action is. Social planning and budgeting is just what it sounds like.
You were talking about social planning.
That is the committee of the Federation that determines what services will be funded and how much they will get and is the planning group for the greater Jewish community in a sense for all of Federation activities. And I've only been to two meetings and I have a lot to learn yet, but I was very, very flattered and honored to have been asked to serve, and I expect that I will get a lot of pleasure out of that. I was kind of amused that the appointment there too is for 3 years, and I'll be past 70 when my term is over, and I can't believe that.
No, but anyhow,
I plan to be around.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think we can stop now. get all the same things.
You wanted to...
Yes, I wanted to ask you now, Shirley, about the ACLU, which is another one of your activities.
The American Civil Liberties Union, yes. I think that ever since, particularly with the election of Ronald Reagan to his first term, and his avowed expression of wanting to cut back on many what I regarded as constitutional rights, I felt that the ACLU was terribly important. It's a group that I certainly would want to have around if I needed them. And I was very pleased to be asked to serve, and I'm starting my third term with them now. They, of course, are primarily concerned with the Bill of Rights of the Constitution. And with matters of concern, like separation of church and state, First Amendment rights, and freedom of the press, and all those things that I believe that this administration, the Reagan administration, just doesn't have any feel for at all. They don't seem to regard these subjects as necessary or important. And in fact, the whole freedom of information concern that council has always, NCJW has always been very concerned about. They're really trying to put all kinds of restrictions on, and of course, their avowed wish to enact a constitutional amendment prohibiting abortion, and mandating school prayer, and a few other things of that nature. I just felt that if ever there was a time to serve, to support the ACLU, this was it.
Now, you're a board member, is that right?
Yes.
And how long is that term? As long as you want it?
No. It's either 2 or 3 years. I don't remember exactly.
Who is president now? Jimmy Lieber?
No. Jimmy Lieber is the director. I can see her. All right. She's been, that's okay. Terrible that I don't remember.
We'll find out. What are their meetings like? Is that more structured or less structured than some of the other things that you use? Sort of run the gamut in the city, and I just wondered of volunteer organizations, what they're like.
It's fairly loose, I would say. The discussion is sometimes at a level where I find it hard to almost to really to comprehend. But mostly, I get the gist of it. Well, there are a lot of attorneys and lawyers, on the... Ellen Doyle is the president. It just wouldn't come to me. And, of course, they're very much into women's rights and affirmative action and all those kinds of things. The individuals and groups come to them for legal defense legal advice, certainly. And there's a committee of lawyers that serves. It's called the legal committee, and they contribute. They donate their time and defend certain clients whose civil rights they feel are being violated. People who can't afford an expensive attorney.
Can you name some of the people that are involved in the meeting? Sort of not. Is Tom Cook? Kerr still?
Tom Kerr is still very, very active. Roz Littman.
Okay, all right. I won't put you on the spot. I just thought it might be interesting for a little Pittsburgh color.
Let's see. Helen Seeger is on now. You know.